so much for the song service that y'all have given tonight. Just, you know, everybody put a little lick of fire into it. And just, I love the presence of the Lord. And God, you see, if you'd like to. I was talking to Hannah here a while back. She's got a recital coming up tomorrow in Panama, and we're pretty excited about that. I told her little Amen Corner will be there to support her. But, you know, they're teaching her how to play the piano, and they'll talk to her about singing and stuff like that, and how to do different things with your face and on breathing and different. I know there's someone that sings a lot might know more about what I'm talking about. But something I try to encourage her is to remember that it's okay to sound, to know how to do those things. It's okay to know how to breathe through your nose. It's okay to be able to do your face just right or make your sounds exactly right. But always remember, it's the Spirit's the most important thing. Because you can take somebody that maybe they don't know how to sing real well, but they know how to surrender to that Spirit and let that Spirit go through you. And that's the most important thing. And I believe we saw that tonight. I believe we saw that in the musicians. So God bless you for that. I appreciate that. And I thought they sounded wonderful. So when you sound wonderful and you got the Spirit, that's like a double package. So I thank the Lord tonight. But always remember that just the Spirit is the most important thing in what you're doing. Let's speak on you a little thought of be diligent tonight. Be diligent. We want to read a scripture in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 23. You just want scripture there in Proverbs. Praying the other night about what direction the Lord had me to go, and I just felt the Lord would just lead me this way, and then I was like, well, maybe not the next day, and come in the same scripture again. So I was like, well, Lord, that's where we'll go. One scripture, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Let's go to another scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 3. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be a lot good. Truly, the light is sleep, and pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you tonight and ask you that you will come and use this yielded vessel, Lord, as I give it to you. Lord, I ask you to speak through me, Lord. And Lord, may there be a word here tonight that will fall on fertile ground, Lord, to draw us closer to you, Lord. Lord, we want to please you. That's our desire. That is everything within us. We want you to be happy with our life. While we're on this journey, Lord, help us to live it well. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I was fellowshipping with Brother Jonathan a while back, and he said, Brother Daniel, I don't know why you ever wear a coat. He said, because you literally, after you read the scripture, you always take it off. He said, you've always done that. I said, well, I think that's probably about right, Brother Jonathan. How many of you enjoyed the services over the weekend? It was good, wasn't it? I really like that. I really love my Brother Jonathan Goff. And I love Joshua, too. Don't get me wrong. Joshua's a good brother, too. But Brother Jonathan just got a special place in my heart in the way he's who he is. It's just an awesome thing. We're talking about how that tree can fall in a certain way, and the way that tree will fall is the way it'll be. You know, that's the way man is. The life that a person lives in this life, when they die, that's the way they're going to be when they face the Lord. Yeah. So, you know, when we were going through we got my side-by-side fixed today, and we went on a short trip, me and the wife and kids. We were going through the woods, and we saw trees that were falling down, and every time I'd see one, my mind would go to that. That tree had a representation in this life. And everything that it had, it could have desires, it could have ambitions, it could have all these things of the leaves, the many leaves that maybe that tree wanted to bear. It could have all these things, but there come a showdown time when that tree, not knowing, and a storm come through unknowingly, and that tree fell. And it didn't matter how many desires it had inside of it, how many ambitions that he had. There was a showdown time come whenever the line was going to be drawn to the sand, and that was going to be the end of that tree's life. And you know, we as people, we have desires, we have ambitions, we have things that we would like to accomplish in this life. I would like to see the Lord do this in my life for my family. I'd like to see the Lord do this for my neighbor. I would like the Lord to do these things. But there's going to come a day, unknowingly, and when our self, this tree, will be falling. And this tree, the way it falls, that will be the way it is. And Lord, I don't want it to be that I would be that tree that before it fell, I would be the one that said, tomorrow I'm going to start serving the Lord with all my heart. Tomorrow I'm going to be a better witness to my neighbor. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. Help me to not do that, because you may not last until tomorrow. Those trees didn't last through the night. There came a wind unexpectedly that took that tree and it laid it down. My father and I, we had plans. We had plans to go fishing. We had plans to do these things. I was looking for something the other day. I can't remember what it was. Maybe some light bulbs or something. And I went into the garage door, and I opened one of the pantry doors, and it just about hit me like a lightning bolt. I saw the tackle box that I bought my daddy with fishing tackle inside of that. And I bought those because he and I were going to go fishing. But we didn't know. An unexpected wind come through and blew down. And the way Dad was, everything that he had, when he died, that's the way he'll be. And friends, that's the way we are. We help us to be diligent to live this life to 100%. That we are being 100%. We read a scripture about be diligent unto your herds. Be diligent unto your flock. Be diligent. And we as parents and as ministry, as moms and dads, help us to be diligent to know the condition of our flock. Help us. Why would it be so important for a parent, a mother or father, or a pastor or a preacher or a mom or a dad? Or a businessman, somebody that owns a business. Why would it be so important for him to be diligent about what's happening in the business, in the church, in your homes? Because when sickness begins to take place, brothers and sisters, it's easy to catch that thing head on. Rather than finding out 6 months later on, your teenage boy comes up and says, Dad, I think I'm this or I'm that. You know what I'm saying? It's something we have to pay attention. We have to be diligently to watch our flock, because we will get complacent. Complacent is whenever you get comfortable, but you get so comfortable in your state, but you forget that there are dangers around you. You're complacent. The worst thing that can happen to an individual in a business is get complacent. Because when you get complacent in your business, you're not going to serve that job like you normally would. And we have a position in the church, we can become complacent in our position in the church. Complacent is just where you're here, but are you here? You see what I'm saying? Whenever you should be diligently, God, help me in my position to be diligent about my position. Is what I was talking about Sister Hannah, about the Spirit, allowing that Spirit to work through her. Brothers and sisters, that's a daily walk for us. Say amen. Where it's a daily walk where we are diligently making ourselves available for the Spirit of God to move through us. Where we can know His leadership. Where we know God. How many of you sisters think about this for just a moment? How many times have you started to go buy something, a lettuce or something like that, and you'll feel something inside and you don't know why, but you know, I'm not going to go buy that. I don't know why. Who knows what I'm talking about? What is that? It's Holy Spirit leadership. A lot of times a person is led by the Lord and they don't even realize they're led by the Lord. But the whole time they'll be saying, I wish I could be led by the Lord. I wish I could. And a lot of times you have faith and you don't think that you have faith. Right. Brother Ben talked about faith as being like keys. When you walk out to the car and you got your keys in your hand and you stick your key in the ignition, you just turn the key, you don't question it, it just starts the car. Faith is just like that. A lot of times we have faith, but we don't realize that we have faith. But we have to exercise that faith, because we don't want to just have that authority, have that power. You know, in the book of Joshua chapter 1, it talks about you go get your land, you fight for your land and get rest. But it says after that, help your brethren to get their rest. And a lot of times, I think as a church, that's where we fail. A lot of times is we'll get ourselves where we're secure in the Lord, ourselves where we're okay with God, ourselves where we're walking in the Spirit. But that's all we look at is ourselves. Whenever we're not supposed to look at ourselves, you're to help your brother. You're to help your sister. You're to serve one another. The closest you'll ever get to God is whenever you are living by the burden in your heart for your brother and your sister. Tomorrow you're saying, God, give me a word, God, that I can be an encouragement to my brother and my sister. God, give me a word. That way I can be an encouragement to my neighbor across the street. You know, a lot of times churches will look out there, missions field of Honduras and Nicaragua and all these things, but they forget the mission field is right here. The people that's right across your street, the person that's right next door neighbor to you, that's our first mission field. Our children is our first mission field. When I've been in Honduras, it's heartbreaking to see that men will say, God gave me a call to preach this message. God gave me a call to preach. And so he'll quit his job and everything, and he'll go preach. And his family will be doing without. And then while he's out preaching the gospel, doing these things, his own children are lost. His own children aren't serving the Lord. But he's going to go out and preach the gospel. He's out on the missions field. They're doing without. They don't know. They're doing without food. They're doing without the basics. They're not doing these things. Your first missions field is home. And on last Wednesday I talked to you, we're talking about, it looked like a scripture for Timothy, but I'm talking about there's a ministry for the bride. Yeah. We have a ministry in this hour. But in order for us, before we can really help them, we've got to help home. We've got to have our home right. Because when you get your home right, your home love, that makes you more solid. That way when you reach out there, you've got something to point to. Yeah. Come partake of what I have. Look at the fruits of it. Look at the fruits of what this does. This message works. This gospel works. But it takes diligence. We have to say, God, give it to me. God, give it to me. You say, amen. And I see it all the time where they go, and I was going to mission school, and the Lord pricked my heart and said, your own family. And you're going to try to be out here in the missions field. And your own family. And I sat down, I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm getting my family right first. And I stepped off the missions field, and I said, I'm going to diligently seek God. Help me, God, get my family diligent. And I'm showing you the topology first. There is a ministry for the bride in this hour. And listen to me. The greatest compliment to the ministry is our own family. How we conduct ourselves in our own family. The love in our own family. That's the greatest compliment of everything that you're saying. And listen, the greatest compliment to the testimonies that you give is the life that you're living. A person can testify, but all they see is your life. And the prophet of God says, your life is so loud they can't hear your testimony. Okay. God, help our life do the speaking. Say, amen. Yeah. Help us to be diligent. Help us to not become complacent to where I'm just satisfied, where I've just got enough. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and read this long quote, because I can already see your little eyeballs are getting smaller and smaller. Before we get there, I'm going to give this long quote. That way I've got that in. I know I got it in good. And then we'll go back to hammering on it. There's one quote I want to hammer on. Brother Brown said, the church will get complacent. Complacent. This is what he says. This is out of the Church Age book. And I'm going to tell you something. If I had to pick a couple of books out of the, one of them would be the Church Age book. Because it touches every doctrine. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to try to make this as legible as possible for you. I'm not a very good reader. I have need of nothing. Now, when anybody says, I have need of nothing, he could very well be saying, I have everything. Or he could be saying, I don't want any more as I am full now. You can express this any way you want, And it all adds up to the fact that the church is complacent. She is satisfied with what she has. She either figures she has it all or has enough. And that is exactly what we find today. What denomination is not claiming that it has the revelation and the power and the truth? Listen to the Baptist, and they have it all. Listen to the Methodist, they have it all. Listen to the Church of Christ, and everyone is wrong but them. Hear what the Pentecostals say, they have the fullness of fullness. Now they know I'm telling the truth about them, for not one of their manuals says any different. They wrote it all out just so nice and put their names in it and finished it all up. God just doesn't have any more. And there are those who just don't want any more. They do not believe in healing and would not want it, although it is in the Word. There are those who would not take the Holy Spirit if God opened the heavens and showed them a sign. Now they are all saying and trying to prove that they have it all or they have enough. Yet is that the truth? That's a question. Yet is that the truth? Compare this 20th century church to the first century church. Go ahead. Do that. Where is the power? Where is the love? Where is the purified church that withstood sin and walked with faith toward Jesus? Where is the unity? You can't find it. If this church has all it needs, why were they crying out for more of God in the book of Acts as though they didn't have it at all? And yet they had far more than they have today.
Thank you. But he's talking about the Church of Christ, talking about this church, talking about this church. And look at what he was saying. Listen to what he was saying. They were all saying, we have it all. We have it right. We have it this. No one has it but us. Sound familiar? Yeah. A lot of times we'll want to put the emphasis on the denominations. They have that. But we have to be careful that we don't become complacent and find ourselves in that same situation. Because a person can have, each of these people of each of these churches, they had truth at one time. They walked in truth at one time. Here I tell you, Baptist at one time had truth. The Catholic Church at one time had truth. Absolutely. If you don't believe me, look what the prophet said. He said the same thing. I didn't believe it either. I used to load foam inside semi-trucks. And I was loading this foam, and I heard him say, he said that the Catholic Church was the first Christian. I was like, what? I heard that wrong. I went back here and found it. Sure enough. They were the first. They started out right. They started out aim. They started out focused. They started out on fire. But somewhere along the way, they got complacent. And I'm here to tell you, that's what Satan's trying so hard today. He's trying to make some of the bride of Jesus Christ, he's trying to make him complacent. What do you mean complacent, Daniel? It means he's making you where you feel like you're satisfied and I've got all I need. I don't need anything else. I'm here to tell you, you need more of God. Brother Daniel needs more of God. Brother Tony needs more of God. If he was listening right now, you could probably hear him saying amen from there. We need more of God. On a daily basis, because when you come to a point when you're not diligent for your position, you will get complacent. Just like if you take a pot of hot tea and you got it on the stove and it's boiling. Listen to what I'm saying. You take that off of the stove, you put it over, it will cool off. And when you take yourself from your diligence, from the Word of God, your diligence to the Word, or your appreciation of the Word, you will turn lukewarm. Satan don't care if you're out in the world. He just wants you lukewarm where you're just going through life, brothers and sisters. Let me ask you, where are the miracles? Where is the power? Where is the dynamics of God? In my house, praise God. But is it? The greatest compliment this bride can ever have is whenever the family is walking in unity in the Word. And we're talking about the unity, the love, and the power. What I'm trying to focus on tonight is the families. We need that love. We need that power. We need that unity in the families. Because when you get the unity in the family, listen, you get the prayer life in the family, you'll get it in the church. That's right. You get the unity in the family, you get the power in the family, it will happen at church. It all starts at home. The more we can diligently seek the Lord, and may it be that when somebody goes by, and I know I've said this a million times, but it's still true. May it be when my brother Tony and my sister Lisa come over on a surprise visit to the Black House. May it be when they come up, they'll hear a familiar voice of hearing a prophet speaking. May it be when they come by, and when they come by the house and do a surprise visit, may they find the Black family praying to God. Oh God, help me. In my time, listen, that storm come through that tree when that tree was not expecting it. That tree had desires. That tree had ambitions. That tree had, if I could do the speaking for that tree, let me just do some speaking for it. If I'm that oak tree, I have desires to bear the prettiest oak leaves for my Creator that I possibly can. I want to be the one that produces the most dynamic before my Lord because He created me. He spoke to me. I have all these desires. But you know what? That tree has nothing to pervert Him. Satan's not going to try to pervert that tree, but he will you. You can have desires inside your heart. God, I want to be a real Christian this hour. God, I want to be able to touch lives. I want my children to serve the Lord. Amen. There's nothing greater than for a parent to want their children to serve the Lord. But you can have that desire, but if you're not doing anything with that desire, it's just sitting there and you are complacent. But we should be fervently, it should be that when sin comes into the church, it should be that this whole church, the believers, should be grieved at that and say, God, get that out of our church. Amen. Whenever you see sin trying to come into the family, trying to come on the children, listen to me. You can tell the condition of the church by looking at the women. And we have to fight that devil. I'm telling you, it's a constant battle because that devil will try to cause that hemline to go higher, 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 higher. When Brother Branham saw them beyond a curtain of time, where was their hemline? Down at their ankles. But watch what Satan will do. Not because the sisters are trying. They're not trying to be that way. It's the devil. He will come across there and he'll cause that hemline to go higher, 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 higher. And there's another hemline he tries to get a hold of too. And that's that song that you're listening to. When you go to the doctor, you know, they do some checking. You know what they'll look at? He'll take that little light. He'll use the same one. And he'll take your head and pull back. Yep, how you been doing? Oh, pretty good. Say ah. Think you're I'm a grown man. Say ah. He'll stick that stick inside your tongue. Ah. Eh. Uh-huh. Inside the ear, moving it around. Wouldn't that be something that doctor doing that? Say, I see you looking at your eyes. Looking at your ears, you've got a heart condition. I'm here to tell you, a lot of the church has a heart condition. And you can tell it by looking at the eyes, looking at the ears. And you can check it by looking at the mouth, the tongue. Ah. Brother Daniel, you are nuts. What you spend your time using these for? What you spend your time using that? And what you spend using this for? It will reflect where your heart's at. It will reflect the condition of the heart. Last Sunday service, Brother Tony and I were sitting just fellowship just briefly in the back and heard Brother Tim come in here as he always does, and he'll get his guitar and he'll sit back there and he'll do his little kicks and on his guitar and he was tuning it in. Brother Tony looked at me and he said, wouldn't it be nice to get them thing if you don't have to do that every time? I said, Brother, that would be. I said, but we're a lot like that guitar. We've got to be tuning in quite a bit. You can't just tune that guitar in one time and say, whoop, it's done. No, it's a daily tuning. And I don't play guitars, and they can tell you that. But I know this enough about it. That brother can tune that guitar here, and then we took it over to my house or to the Robert's house, and he was going to play that again. Guess what he would have to do before he could use it again? He'd have to tune that guitar again. So, never mind you, he don't get rid of that guitar. He don't go off and go get another one. He don't have to start all over, and God ain't going to do the same thing for you. If you find the hymn line coming up too high, if you find yourself looking at things you know you shouldn't be looking at, God's not going to get rid of you and replace you. But he is going to tune you. And sometimes we have to be tuned. We have to be diligent. Listen to me, mothers and fathers. We have to be diligent to tune our family on a daily basis, many times a day. My children, I remember when Elijah was born, I sat in that chair next to him, and I looked over at my wife and holding him, and I said, Lord, I have just inherited the greatest responsibility I will ever have of being a father. Lord, help me be diligent to be a good father. Help me to do these things. I'm going to show you something the Lord showed me. This ain't going to be a real fast service, but it will be straight from my heart. I pray that you get something from it. I was sitting in that chair there, and the Lord showed me something. He showed me how you could take a tree, and you put that little tree in the ground, and you plant it. Without some kind of direction, that tree will go whatever direction it wants to. It will go left, it will go right, it will fall down, it will grow. And the way that it's going, that's the way that tree will grow. But what you can do is you can take a stake and you can put that stake in the ground. And you pull that tree up to that stake and you tie it to that stake. And mind you, I'm sure that's very uncomfortable at times for that tree. But as that tree begins to grow, it will grow in the direction that I have tied it to. And then for too long, I can pull that stake off and I don't have to sit there and hold the stake around it all the time. Why? Because I've trained it in the way that it should go. And in parenting, that's what we have to do. We have to have something that we can tie our children to. And it's the Word. And listen to me. When you take the Word and you're tying it to that, when you're tying that tree to this Word, it's not comfortable. That tree is going to be saying, look at all the other trees. They're not having to do this. All the other trees aren't having to be doing this. All the other trees get to do that. But I'm not the parent of those other trees. I'm your parent. And we can look the same way and say, look at all the other message churches. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're doing this. We're not over those churches, Brother Tony and I. We're preaching to you in this church. And we've got something we have got to tie to, and it's got to be this Word. Right. And sometimes it will be uncomfortable. Sometimes it'll get right in your tater patch. Sometimes it'll get right in your dressing room. Sometimes it'll get right in your personal life, and it'll be uncomfortable. But listen to me, it's better to do it when you're younger. The younger you can do it. Because you ever heard the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? That's true a lot of times. But Matthew's in the plumbing business, as most of us know. I've trained a lot of people, and I guarantee you, if I was to set this brother to the side and ask me something, brother, would you rather have somebody that's never been trained at all or somebody that's been trained that thinks they know something? And if he's got any common sense at all, he'll say, I want someone that don't know nothing. And he says, mm-hmm. You know why? When somebody thinks that they know, you can't teach them nothing. Yeah. You try to show them something. Well, that's not how I did it at the last place I worked. Well, that's why you don't work at the last place you worked. Remember that? Remember when you got fired? Yeah. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to show you something. And that's what it is a lot of times whenever you have teenagers, when they're real little, they'll listen to you. You can tell them anything and they'll believe it just about. But then before too long, they'll get a little bit of education. And then we get a little bit of education. Well, Dad's a really good guy. He's a nice guy. But I don't really, he does his best. But he doesn't understand. This is different. He doesn't know you can do this and that. Dad doesn't know. He's just he's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. He's nice. Hello? Teenager will come up to a point where they'll think in their mind, Dad all of a sudden is not quite as smart. I mean, he means well, but he's not quite as smart as he thinks he is. I've got education.
I've been educated. But there's something that dad can have that you don't have. And that's life experience. And you know, and that's why I thank God that God has given us a ministry where Brother Tony is not a novice. Brother Tony is a man that's been through, he's been around the block. There's a reason I believe God put it where Brother Tony would go. He's done about every position in a church that could possibly be done. Because that way, whenever he is talking to somebody, he can say, this is how you should do it. But he's not going to be forbearing doing it because it's not his nature. That's what I'm for. No. I'll say things sharp sometimes, but Brother Tony won't quite say that because that's my ministry. To where I can be something a lot more sharp than what that brother can. But listen to what I'm saying. Brother Tony has been going through the life experience. Your ministry, it's very important that your ministry walks with this. Yeah. And it needs to have a life experience of this. Because sometimes a teenager can look at dad and say, dad's a nice guy, but dad don't really know. And people don't realize that spiritually, the church can do that same thing. Brother Brandon was a nice guy, but you know, it's when he said that about doing the, you know, he's a nice guy. And we take most of what he said, but little areas of where he talked about, you know, he don't quite understand. Say amen. Boy, it's getting awful quiet in here. I'm wondering, y'all sleep back there? Or am I just, what's going on here? Help us to be diligent to this. Whenever they come out of Egypt, the children of Israel, they started out on fire for the Lord. They started out, God, we have been praying for a revival. We've been praying, God, take us out so we can serve our God the best way we can. God gave a provided way. God sent a messenger. God sent a pillar of fire. Hello? God sent a cloud. Hello? God sent all these things. Praise God. God's given us a revival. Praise God. God's moving. And there's like, yes, praise God for Moses. Praise God for the ministry he's doing. Praise God. He took me away from the Philistines. Praise God. He took me out of the shackles. Praise God. He took me out of the mud pits. Praise God. He's taking us on. And before too long, they got complacent. And they said, you know what? That Moses really thinks he's something. He thinks he's the only one in here from God. He thinks he's the only one. So I believe about the scripture, don't know about that. He thinks he's the only one that's got it. He's the only one that's got the truth. He's the only one that's got that. I've got God too. I've got God in my life. But God had a program of a way that they could overcome. And they were disrespecting that program that God gave. God sent a message. God sent a deliverer. And as long as they respected that deliverer, they had victory. But when they begin to let down the bickering and the fighting, the complaining began. And Satan will try to bring complaining today. But it's our responsibility. Remember whenever Moses' hands got heavy, he was supposed to hold his hands up. What they had to do, his hands began to fall down. It's our job to pick those hands right back up. And anytime you see your ministry not walking, as they start to get tired, pray for your ministry. Amen. That's right. Pray for your ministry and pray for the sins that try to come inside the church. Amen. That we don't become complacent. Amen. Because listen, if I throw a ball up, it's going to go up. It will come down. Amen. And if you are not diligently seeking God, you will get complacent. And then you'll be wondering, where is God? I'm going to touch on a couple things and I promise we'll quit. Talking about how that they would look at the clouds and say, well, I'm not going to sow yet. I'm going to look at the weather. Well, I'm not going to go reap yet. They'll wait for the perfect opportunity to go sow. And listen to me. A lot of times we will wait for the perfect opportunity to start doing something for God. When I start feeling, yes, now I'll go. If you do that, the devil will catch on to that. And you know what will happen? He'll make sure you never get ready. I have times where I'm going to go pray. I'll get on my knees and I'll start to pray to the Lord out in the woods. And I'll start praying and my knees will start hurting right there. And you know what I'll do? I'll get up and I'll start walking over and I'll go find somewhere else. I'll kneel down.
And all of a sudden, the leaves are blowing on me. They're tickling my arm. Nope, that's not it either. Get up and start moving. And you know what? If I would have kept doing that, I would have never prayed. Finally, I realized that's the devil fighting me, because the devil will try to get you to wait for the perfect opportunity to do it, and you will never have that. Because you have a devil that's going to fight you every day of your life. You will look for the perfect opportunity to start doing devotions at your home. I will do it whenever this lines up. The devil will make sure it never lines up. That's what he will. I'm gonna start praying with my children. I'm gonna start doing these. I'm gonna wait till this is done, this is done, this is done. You think you ain't got a smart devil that you're fighting? He will make sure it never gets done.
Right.
He will purposely do that. It's orchestrated that way. But that's when it goes back. I want you to listen to these words I'm gonna say. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Your devotion to this word is the only thing that matters. I've got sales calls that will be coming in on me for us that I've got to talk to this customer, talk to this customer, talk to this customer, and it can potentially be a lot of money. But I have to tell myself, nothing else matters. Turn the phone off. Nothing else matters. I'm taking this time with my family. I'm going to devote myself to my family. I am going to serve God with my family. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you will do that, you will see the blessings of it. Who wants the blessings? This is how you do it. You've got to diligently put things in place and say, nothing else matters. And then whenever you do that right, I'm preaching on myself on that, God will bless the few sales that you get because you did it God's way. Got laundry you got to do. I got to do this laundry. I got to do this. I got to do that. If you will stop that and say, nothing else matters, I'm consecrating myself to the Lord. I'm diligently seeking God right now. And you watch and see if God don't bless the work of your hands. They preached, I think it was Brother Jonathan that preached it over the weekend. I believe it was him that talked about habits. You can build habits. And I'm telling you that is so true. I work like clockwork. I do everything almost the exact same way every day. If a hitman was coming after me, I would be his perfect guy. I would be like, he's like, thank you. This is going to be an easy guy to kill. Because I do the same way every day. When I get up in the morning, brothers and sisters, I get up early. Early. Young people. I believe we should get up early. I don't believe we should stay up late. Unless you can, get up early too. But I like to get up early. And I'll start my day off with music. And I usually play Healing Is Here. And that brother sung that tonight. I was like, that's good. I start my day off when I get up. My wife, she may hate it, but I'm still going to do it. Because I know it makes me who God wants me to be. I will put that music on in there, and I'll start my day of my shower or whatever I got to do that morning, and I'll have that atmosphere going. And next thing I know, halfway through my morning, brother, I will be singing with that song, and I am in the Spirit. And then as I do that, I will go into the living room. I will get my Bible. I'll begin to pray and read through my Bible. Get on my knees. I'll seek the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. Guide me this day, Lord. Help me, Lord. Strengthen my walk with you today. Speak to me today, God. Help me to be able to touch a customer today. Not to sell them a car, but God, help me change their life. Help me be able to say something to a family that will bring fire in their home. God, may it be that when I speak to somebody, it'd be like a coal of fire that comes out that will drop inside them and they can walk away with it and say, my goodness, that's good. It's not every once in a while, brothers and sisters, God, but God has instilled it in me on a daily walk. This is what you do. You create that atmosphere. And I do my day, and throughout the day, I will pray. I'll seek God, help me, Lord. Help me do these things. And I've got my Bible. I'll keep in my filing cabinet. I'll pull that out, and that's my time with the Lord. And I've got all these things I've got to do, but I say, nothing else matters. I'll stop that, and my managers know, if I pull my Bible out, leave me alone. Not because I'm forceful about that, but they know me. They reverence me, and they know, leave him alone. When he's done doing that, he'll be more productive. Because they know that is what gives me my fire. And I've never told my manager, leave me alone. You understand that? But they know, out of reverence to me, because I've been there for 7 years. They've seen me for 7 years. They know how I walk. And listen, if people are around us, they should know how we walk. And they do. They should know what we're standing for.
When I get home, I'll spend my time with my family. We'll do our devotions or have our talks and run the table. Before I go to bed, I'm meditating on the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me be used by you today. And I can't tell you how many times as I start to pray, I'll think about all the things I did wrong. Anybody familiarize with that? You're trying to do everything right. You're trying to focus. You're trying to do that. And even when you're doing that, you're still going to make mistakes. But I'm not saved because I don't make mistakes. I'm saved because I accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's my victory. My trust is in the mercy of the Lord. But listen to me, parents. If you'll do this, your children will see it. And they will follow it. It's all standard. I just sure just exposed myself for the devil in the morning, didn't I? He'll try to stick something out for me to stub my toe or anything like that. You know, a lot of times people need miracles. They say, I need God to move this mountain. Sometimes we just need God to move the stub toe, because sometimes a person can allow one bad thing happen in the morning and they'll let it ruin their entire day. Yeah. Sometimes our biggest mountain needs to be that little bitty toe. Because that's the only thing that person will literally allow that run their entire day. God, help us. Help us to be a creature of habit, but of good habits. You can have habits of going on dates. And that's something my wife and I really need to get better at, of making those dates. It seems like every time we get up, want to go on a date, something happens. I'm talking about being diligent. Be diligent to your post of duty. Be diligent as a mommy, as a daddy. Be diligent as a daughter. Be diligent as a son. Be diligent that you will wholly give yourself to that position. Because if you don't, it will shipwreck. Amen. Come on, let's just everybody just bow your heads just a moment, wherever you are. Reflect on these things I've spoken about. Where's your family? Where's your diligence? I'm here to tell you, God wants to bless you. God wants to walk. He wants to work in your life. God wants to do these things. But sometimes we got to make the habits. We got to make the good habits where you say, you know what? Nothing else matters. I want to concentrate on God in this moment. I'm not saying you don't do your job. I'm talking about you just got to have times. You got to have moments where you put God first. And God will bless your job. With every head bowed, I'm going to ask, is anybody, oh, Daniel, I've got some things I need to work on. Why don't you just lift your hand up to the Lord? The Lord sees your hands. You defy gravity by raising your hand up to Him. And I'm telling you, listen to what I'm saying. These habits I've told you, I've been serving the Lord since I believe I was 18 years old, or just turned 19. I can't remember on time. I'm about 18, 19 years old when I give my heart to the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, about halfway through my walk with the Lord, I had my ups and downs. I'd serve God high for a while. I'd serve low for a while. And just all mix, max. And finally, the Lord showed me if I would really 100% diligently consecrate my life to Him, He would bless my life. And listen, from that time on, God has blessed me. He opened His Word up to me. He gave me revelation. We talk about the Scriptures. It was when I diligently sought Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, and I thank you for this opportunity to be here with these precious friends, Lord. I see the sincerity in their faces, Lord, when they lifted their hands to you, Lord. I ask you to go to each one and deal with their hearts, Lord. I ask you to walk into their heart, Lord God, and be the Lord of our life, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in everything that we have. Help us in our homes, Lord. We don't want to be like that teenager, Lord, that doesn't think Dad knows everything. We don't want to be an adolescent church. But, Lord, you're calling for a mature bride, Lord. Somebody that will stand up and be who she's called to be. Lord God, and I know that comes from home. It comes from the family altar, Lord. Lord, it's from a daily walk of moms and dads and children, Lord, sitting around the table and being able to talk to you, Lord. I thought it was so wonderful, Lord, to remember when Sister Hattie Wright said the right thing that were sitting around the table. Lord, because sitting around the table at home, that's where some of the best talks will ever take place. That's whenever you got to slow everything down and listen to the little boy's story. Listen to the little girl talk about how far she threw the rock. Lord God, because it's during those times when they see that you're paying attention to them, Lord, that's whenever they can receive something from you too, whenever that father's talking to them. Lord, help us to make our children feel important. Help us to make one another feel important, Lord, because they are. Lord, help us to make each other feel like a valued part of the body, Lord. Lord, I spoke at the beginning of this service about Sister Clara, Lord, going through all the trials that she's gone through, Lord. Lost her brother, Lord. Her cousins, Lord, killed in a car accident, God. Lord, she's not been feeling well. Lots of problems, Lord. And Lord, I hadn't even gone to visit her, Lord. I've been so busy with my own life, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Lord God, I know each person in this building, Lord, there's somebody that we can minister to, Lord. There's somebody that we can reach out and we can be a help to, Lord. Lord, I don't want us to be a puffed up something, Lord. But Lord God, may you put a servitude spirit inside of us, Lord, where we will serve one another, Lord. Lord God, help us to have such a feeling for one another, Lord, that if one of us suffers, we all suffer, Lord, because we have such a love for one another. Lord God, may it be that we see one of our young mothers, Lord, or fathers, Lord, they see their children not serving the Lord. I know what that's like, Lord. I'm finding it right now, Lord. That desire on the inside to want to see all of your children serve the Lord with everything that's in them, Lord. Because, Lord, as I drove through those trees today, Lord, I saw trees that fall down, Lord. There were some of them that were old, Lord. But, God, there were some of them that were so young, Lord. They looked like they couldn't have been more than 15 or 20 years old, Lord. And their life was over. It was laying down on the hill, Lord. People driving their side-by-sides over it, God. Just like it was a little piece of trashy wood, Lord. But Lord God, whenever you saw that tree in the beginning and you saw, you said it is good. Because Lord, it was doing what you called it, you created it to do, Lord. That tree wasn't trying to be anything else, Lord. It was being what you called it, Lord. You called it to be a tree, and that's what it was being, Lord. And Lord God, you have called us to be the bride, Lord. You've called us to be your children, Lord God. Help us to live like it, Father. Lord, I ask you to go to the wayward ones, Lord. There are so many young people that should be in this building tonight, Lord. But where are they at? They're out in the world, Lord. Lord, they're taking on a form of godliness, but they've lost it. They're denying the power thereof, Lord. God, I'm asking you, Lord, put that grieving spirit in each heart, Lord God. That, Lord, we can't go to bed until we seek your face for our lost loved ones, Lord. God, I'm asking you, Lord, let this bride be on display the way you want it to be, Lord. Give us such a love for one another, Lord. Oh God, I'm asking you that your divine love would come, Lord, tonight and touch each heart, Lord. Help me diligently seek you, Lord. Touch our pastor tonight, Lord. Help him diligently seek you. Our musicians, God. Touch the mothers and the fathers, Lord. Help us diligently seek you. Lord, we don't want to become complacent where we act like we've got enough. We don't want to act where like we don't want anymore. God, I want more. I want more of your spirit. I want more of your love, God. God, I want to see more of your children in this building, Lord. Not because we're trying to build a church, God, but because the word is here, Lord. Help us, Lord. We love you so much. I ask you to touch each heart here tonight, Lord. and help us to diligently seek you the rest of this week, Lord. In Jesus' name.